Welcome to Wellness Your Way. I'm your host, Megan Lyons, and I've helped thousands of people find their own way to wellness. Wellness Your Way is an extension of that work, aimed to help you find your unique path to feeling your very best. Each week, we'll go through tactical strategies you can use to improve your health, happiness, and quality of life. So grab a mug of tea or lace up your walking shoes. We're about to dive in. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to episode 162 of Wellness Your Way. I hope you had an amazing Thanksgiving week. I hope you got to spend some time with your family or friends or yourself, or do something nice for the world, or definitely do something nice for yourself. I hope you're feeling restored heading back into this week. But I'm guessing many of you also are feeling a little bit frantic. This time of year can be so fun and so full of festivity and activities and special things that we don't experience throughout the rest of the year. And I want you to savor all of that. But what is something that gets sacrificed when we have all of this going on? It's sleep. It is sleep. So many studies show that our sleep quality and quantity both degrade in December. And I want to help you change that, because so often I have clients who are truly doing all the things. They're eating genuinely well. They're exercising. They are checking all of those, quote, normal boxes, but they're still not feeling great. And what is that missing piece? It's sleep. And I know what it feels like to not want to prioritize sleep. I did that for many, many years, and I survived. I did not thrive. That is for absolute certain. Nothing works very well when you're not sleeping. And I'm not talking one night. I'm talking consistently not prioritizing sleep. Your metabolism doesn't operate efficiently. Your immune system doesn't operate efficiently. Your mood regulation, for sure. Your brain fog, mental clarity, none of these things. Hormones, none of these things operate efficiently when you're not prioritizing sleep quantity and quality. Really? The best case scenario is we prioritize both. But what I'm going to talk about today is quality, because I think most people forget about that. We know how many hours we, quote, should be in bed, and we do that or we don't do that. That's a matter of prioritization. That's up to you. But for the hours that you're in bed, I want to help you optimize your quality. I know several people come to me all the time and say, hey, I'm in bed 8 to 9 hours, and I just feel like I'm not sleeping at all. Well, what do we do then? We look into sleep quality, and those are all the things we're going to discuss today. I'm pulling the veggies of the matter from episode 47, way back in the day, and I know these tips will be relevant to you now more than ever. So get ready for that in the veggies of the matter section. But before we dive into that, I'm going to talk about a very common food that has been shown to reduce cancer risk by 45%. Let's dive in. All right, in health news you can use today, I want to talk about a study from Penn State published in Advances in Nutrition back in 2021. And this study examined 17 cancer studies published from 1966 to 2020. So this was a study of studies, and it analyzed data on more than 19,500 cancer patients. And what did they find? What was the common food I hinted at before that reduced cancer risk? It was mushrooms. Eating mushrooms in this study, those people who just ate 18 grams of mushrooms. Now, I don't know how much 18 grams is, so I had to figure that out for you. 1/8 to 1/4 cup. That's not very much. A portobello mushroom cap is way more than that. A quarter cup of mushrooms is basically nothing. Those who ate 1/8 to 1/4 cup they ate them daily, right? So the equivalent of daily. You didn't have to eat it every single day, but throughout the week, you had to average that 1/8 to 1/4 cup. those people had 45% lower risk of cancer compared to those who did not eat mushrooms. That is a pretty staggering statistic. That is really amazing to me. Now, mushrooms are the highest dietary source of an amino acid called ergothioneine. You might not have heard this name before, because honestly, it's not in a lot of foods. It's not an amino acid we talk about very much. It's a potent antioxidant. What an antioxidant does is helps your body reduce oxidative stress, which causes the cells damage. So basically, it protects your cells. And some of the fancier mushrooms like shiitake, oyster, maitake, king oyster, these are the ones with the highest amount of ergothioneine, higher than white button, cremini, even portobello mushrooms. But the study showed that even people who ate the simple white button mushroom, any type of mushroom, had a lower risk of cancer. This is incredible. Now, I know some of you love mushrooms. I really like them. Some of you don't, and that's okay. If you want to incorporate them, but you just don't love like chomping into a bite of portobello mushroom, it's really easy to chop them up and mix them into ground turkey, ground beef, spaghetti sauce, things like that. There are plenty of ways. And then, of course, you can dive into mushroom teas and coffee and all of that kind of thing. There are several ways to incorporate them. I do want to say this study of studies showed that there were strongest associations for breast cancer in particular, but they believe that the other ones didn't come up as strongly just based on how the data panned out. They do believe, well, when they pooled all cancer risks together overall, that there was a movement in the right direction. So a reduction of risk of cancer overall, and then breast cancer as well. But some of the individual studies didn't have strong enough data for them to say, yes, definitely mushrooms protect against you fill in the blank cancer. So I feel confident that this addition to your diet is going to be beneficial no matter what. I'm very excited to focus on making sure I have mushroom consumption in my diet because I do like them, but I don't always make the effort to prioritize them. So this has changed my mind and given me some motivation to include them, and I hope it does the same for you. It's time for the veggies of the matter, and today we're talking about sleep. Let's see if you relate to this. So many of us as children spent years protesting our bedtimes and crying at nap time, and maybe you have kids or have had kids and they did the same, and now we would just kill for a midday nap or a great night of restful sleep. Our tide has turned on our attitude towards sleep, and now most of us are craving it more. And that is because A, we're busy, we don't prioritize the time for sleep, but B, importantly, we are not getting the quality of sleep that we used to because of the anxiety, because of the blue light, because of our schedules, because of our poor quality food. All of these things that we're going to talk about today might not have impacted us as children, and now they are detracting from the quality of our sleep. So quantity is important too. If you are getting those solid 8+ hours of sleep per night and still don't feel rested, then you need the quality tips that we're going to talk about today. And even if you're not, I'm going to be totally honest, I don't get 8 hours in bed every night, but because I've maximized my sleep quality, I can thrive under a slightly less quantity. Now, to be totally honest, both is the best. So I am constantly, every single week, I write down my sleep time and my sleep score, both from my Oura Ring and my Fitbit, because I'm monitoring this constantly and always looking to improve both quality and quantity. So they're both important. But today, we're going to talk mostly about quality tips. Now, before we get into the tips, I want to make sure you know how important sleep actually is. So it feels amazing. We know that. But it's critical for your physical health too. Your body repairs muscle tissue that's been damaged, like from your workouts or things like that. It repairs tissue from other parts of your body that just, I mean, honestly, our cells turn over multiple times per year. Some cells turn over as quickly as multiple times per day and some after several months. But all of that cellular damage and repair that goes on in our body, most of it happens at night. Sleep is important for maintaining an optimal weight, for maintaining cravings. Research actually shows that obesity is increased in those who are chronically sleep deprived. So all else equal, even if they're eating the same, obesity is increased in those who are sleep deprived. It's important for your memory, for clear thinking, your ability to learn, stress management, how to maintain appropriate hormone balance, cravings, like I mentioned, blood sugar control. Everything basically has been linked to being chronically sleep deprived, risk of high blood pressure, diabetes, stroke, heart disease, kidney disease, so much more. So yes, to answer that question, sleep really is that important. Now, today I'm going to go over 7 tips to improve sleep naturally. I will include in the show notes a link to a blog post that will outline these 7 tips for you. And I will encourage you that in the Revitalize Health Accelerator, which now you've heard about multiple times, we have an entire pillar dedicated to sleep. You do a sleep experiment to help you determine which factors are more critical for you. We go through a lot more on supplementation, more practices than we're able to discuss in this short podcast. So if you want more, that's just one more motivation to check out the Revitalize Health Accelerator. I know you'll love it, and I can't wait to talk to you more about that. You can find out more on that as well at the link in my bio, and you can register if you're listening to this close to when it's released. You can register for the free webinar on August 30th at noon central at the link in the show notes down there. It is bit.ly/revitalize_webinar. All of that is lowercase, free webinar walking you through the 12 pillars of health. Okay, back to the tips. 7 tips to improve sleep naturally. Number 1, exercise in the morning. You know how much I love my morning routine, so this is an easy tip for me to give. But research shows that exercising in the morning helps our body adjust to its normal circadian rhythms. This makes us better able to fall asleep once it gets to bedtime. We also, I mean, I'm biased here, but I know how productive I feel, how accomplished I feel, how energized, how positive, all of this kind of stuff I feel when I exercise in the morning rather than just jumping right into work. So highly recommend getting in some exercise in the morning to help your circadian rhythm operate effectively and improve your quality of sleep at night. If you're just like, no, it's not going to happen, my work schedule, my kids' schedule, whatever. Most people do not feel good with intense exercise 2 to 3 hours before bed. So can you do a walk? Can you do some gentle yoga, stretching, things like that? Of course, that's wonderful right before bed. And in fact, that could be its own tip. But a boot camp workout or 400 burpees in your backyard 30 minutes before bed, that's probably not going to facilitate good quality of sleep. Tip number 2 is to limit caffeine 6 hours before bedtime. I know this is a lot. I don't love giving this tip. I love my coffee too. I love caffeinated tea. I love all things caffeine. But the half-life of caffeine is actually quite long, 5 to 6 hours, meaning that 5 to 6 hours later, we still do have half of the caffeine in our bloodstream for the average person. That's a long time. So maybe technically the goal should be no caffeine 12 hours before bedtime, although for most people that might be a little bit of a stretch. So I'm asking for 6 hours, and I would want you to calculate right now, what is your optimal bedtime? Can you actually make that cutoff for yourself and really hold to it? If that's not enough of a cutoff, go a little earlier for yourself. Don't argue with yourself. Just have it be a line in the sand. Don't say, oh, should I have this next cup of coffee or not? No, if it's past your cutoff, the answer is no. Prioritize your sleep enough so that you can get good quality sleep, and then you won't even need that afternoon cup of coffee the next day. It's a positive cycle. Tip number three is to limit sugar as much as possible, especially in the 3 hours before bedtime. You know I have a major sweet tooth. I love my chocolate, so I struggle right alongside you to limit that sugar right before bed. And I do personally, as you've probably seen on Instagram, I enjoy some kind of, quote, dessert every single night. Almost always, 9+ times out of 10, it's a low sugar option. So a square or two of no sugar added dark chocolate or my protein milkshake, which I absolutely love and will include a link in the show notes. I call it my Healthy Wendy's Frosty. Or maybe Organifi Gold, which is a nice warm tea or something like that. I'll choose a lower sugar option before bed so it doesn't impede my sleep quality. Tip number four is to limit blue light at least an hour before bedtime. I will link to a post that gives a full debrief on blue light, but the short version is that so many studies show blue light affects our levels of melatonin, which is a hormone that regulates sleep quality. So I really recommend truly putting away all devices an hour before bed, but at least if you've got to or feel that you need to, in quotes, check your devices, at least wear some blue light blocking glasses an hour before bed. Even better though, honestly, if you can use that time for connection, for household chores, for yoga, for reading a book, for doing a hobby, something like that, to get your mind in a relaxed state. Instagram scrolling or working or even watching TV for the most part is too mentally stimulating for the best mental state to go into a deep quality of sleep. So tip number five we covered in Megan Recommends, which is to take magnesium 20 minutes to an hour before bedtime. I've taken this for years. Like I said, I swear by it to help my monkey mind calm down throughout my sleep cycle. I generally fall asleep okay, but I wake up thinking about how much I love my job and my to-do list and which clients I'm going to see and all this stuff. And even though I do love it, I don't want that to wake me up and be circulating in my brain. So the magnesium really helps with that, as well as the other benefits I mentioned. Tip number six is to create an optimal sleep environment. The optimal sleep environment is a cool, dark, and quiet one. So cool, 60 to 68 degrees is actually the optimal temperature. 60 degrees sounds really cold to me, I'm not going to lie. So I don't get all the way down there, although my husband probably wishes that we would. But no, 60 to 68 degrees, so as cool as you can get it. And don't wear excessive clothing. I used to sleep in like sweatpants and thick socks and five layers of shirts and all this kind of stuff, and that is not great for us either. So cool environment, a dark environment, anything you can do to cover up sources of light from outside, cover up light alarm clocks, TVs, any kind of light you have in your room, cover it up as much as you can. And then finally, quiet. Try to get as quiet as possible. If for whatever reason you have noise, you live in a noisy area, or like me, your dogs sleep in your room, which is not optimal for sleep quality, and sometimes they snore and things like that, you can use a white noise or a pink noise machine to simulate quiet for your brain and help your brain tap into deep quality of sleep. And then finally, tip number seven, I hinted at this before, is to try a relaxation practice before falling asleep. It is so hard for our brains to just go from work, 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 work to sleep. With only a 5-minute break to just like brush your teeth and wash your face or something like that, that used to work for me for many years, but it just doesn't work anymore. Our brains need time to wind down from the stress of the day, and having a practice is really helpful there. I always use the example of my grandparents' dog named Scamp. Back in the day, probably in the late 80s, early 90s, my grandparents had a dog named Scamp, and they used to watch MASH, the TV show, every single night before bed. And as soon as the MASH theme song played at the end, Scamp would scamper over to his bed and just put himself to bed. He knew that was the trigger for his brain to go to bed. I would love for you to have the same type of trigger. It doesn't have to be the MASH theme song. But if you have something you do, like personally, I do my foam rolling. I set out my workout clothes for the next day. I take my magnesium. I brush my teeth, etc. And then I read. When I go through that, my brain gets the message, just like Scamp did, all right, it's time for bed. But if sometimes right before bed, you're talking to a friend, and sometimes you're out, and sometimes you're working, and sometimes you're watching TV, and sometimes you're whatever, it's hard for your brain to get that message. So I highly recommend trying something soothing, maybe meditation or foam rolling or taking a bath, reading a book. It doesn't have to be long, but just giving yourself 10 minutes to wind down will do wonders for your sleep quality. All right, so I hope you loved these tips. If you're a loyal listener to Wellness Your Way, you know I am super picky about only sharing information that is well-researched and practical, and that I think can change your life. And I hope you love learning the snippets of health information that I share here each week, because I sure love sharing it with you. But I also know that there's a little challenge. You're a loyal listener to Wellness Your Way, but that's just 35 minutes of your week. That's 0.3% of your week. And if you don't have a strategy guiding the rest of the week, then all of the effort you put into learning this stuff and all of the best intentions in the world can easily fly out the window because you have a million other priorities. I get it. It's for people just like you that I developed my Revitalize Health Accelerator. It's for people who already know a lot about health and nutrition, and they're implementing a lot of it. It's for people who feel pretty good in their bodies, but they know they could feel better. It's for people who feel like they kind of know what to do, at least some of it, but then life gets in the way and they don't end up doing all of it. I've been there too, and what I needed was a strategy. What I needed was a way to actually implement what I knew and to do it in a sustainable way that actually fits into real life and doesn't feel like a diet, because it's not. The Revitalize Health Accelerator delivers all of that. And as you may have heard, I've recently made it even more accessible to the masses because I want you in the program. If you've been on the fence, consider this your sign. If you want to keep learning and growing and feeling amazing, this is your sign. I'm waiting here with open arms, ready to help you stop feeling good, because greatness is in your future. Join us at the link in the show notes or go to www.thelionsshare.org/revitalize. I cannot wait to welcome you into Revitalize. Thanks for listening to another episode of Wellness Your Way with Megan Lyons. I always love connecting with listeners, so be sure to follow me on social media. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss brand new episodes each week. If you love Wellness Your Way, please leave us a rating and review. I appreciate it so much. Stay well, and I'll be back next week. The Wellness Your Way podcast is provided for information only and should not be misconstrued as medical advice. Please consult with your physician or otherwise qualified practitioner on any matters regarding your health and well-being or on any opinions expressed within this podcast or the Lion Share website.